Hey everyone, this is Andrew from the Happy Hearthstone. And before we jump into this week's episode, we have to talk about something that happened in our community just recently. And many of you, I'm sure, are already aware, but we just need to talk about it directly. Toast the Badger is someone that many of you might be familiar with. She kind of got into our circles because of her movement on Twitter with the hashtag Badass Women of Hearthstone, where she really celebrated the great women who are creating content and just part of our gaming scene. She was also more recently a part of the United Hearthstone League this current season that we're in. And we just found out through social media, through the police in Edmonton, as well as her family, that she has passed away. And to our knowledge, from what we can see, it was a decision that she made to take her own life. And I have been really struggling with this, to be frank with you guys. I did not know Toast very well. She and I had talked a little bit on Twitter about the possibility of her starting a new podcast, and I wanted to help her as best I could to kind of get that off the ground. Obviously, that didn't happen. I did not know her very well outside of that. I know that she was iconic for just being a voice in the scene for equality, for standing up for women who are in the scene, and also for standing up for justice in the esports scene in general. She's been around Hearthstone for a long time, long before her hashtag and everything. And truly, she was a voice that was needed in this community and that now will sorely be missed. This will be a little bit stream of consciousness, but I want to keep it real with you guys and keep it raw. I want to first just say, if any of her family members ended up listening to this, and her really close friends, anybody who really considered her a friend, I am beyond sorry for your loss. There is nothing sadder than a friend passing, and especially when they made the decision themselves, it is ruthlessly difficult. I had a friend a couple years ago who took his life through pain medications, and it still plagues me in some ways as well. For the rest of us, the truth is that we have things that we have to address. And whether you know someone or not who has decided to take their life, it is a real issue across the world of people making this decision. There are two things that I want to ask you to commit to, and that I would commit to as well with you. One is the art of putting yourself in circles. And what I mean by that is, if you have people that you're close to, you stay close to them. When things aren't okay, when you feel depressed, whether it's a chemical imbalance or emotions, you continue to do the hard work of putting yourself in those circles. And I don't know Toast's story. I don't know the details, so don't hear me making any kind of suggestion in that vein. But what I do know is that it's all too easy in our society to start to shrink away, to allow social media to become a ruse or a mask of connection. And while it's such a vital tool and something I obviously engage in, and I encourage you guys to as well, it cannot substitute people who know your heart, who are in your world, who know the intimate details. Certainly that can happen and does happen on social media. But if you are just running in circles, if you are just kind of commenting on this video game that we like, or whatever you end up doing, it's not enough in and of itself. You need real connection. We were created for connection. And it's ironic because I'm actually going through a book right now about depression. And one thing that I learned is that it is very, very difficult when you are suffering from depression to make yourself be around other people. Even if you're married, in a relationship, it is significant. I mean, I can't put words to it. But I would urge you, if that's you, you put yourself in those circles. You fight the hard fight because you will not get out of it alone. And then also, when you see your friends shirking off, acting odd, acting different than how they usually do. Move towards them. If they are not themselves, do everything in your power to connect, to strengthen, to be there for them, even if they don't want it. You be somebody who is persistent in loving other people. Because we all need that at different times in our lives, no matter what our struggle is. That's the first thing I want to ask you. The second thing I want to ask, some of you might be struggling with depression right now. Others of you might struggle with it later on in life. I know several of you have shared your stories of fighting it in the past as well. If you are severely at a place where you cannot think, you cannot reason yourself to have any ounce of hope, that you commit now to getting professional help when that happens. I spent some time talking with my wife, who has a master's in counseling, just processing this issue with her, and she reminded me that that community is so important for us, but it's also important if you're in that position to get professional medical help. Because there are people who are trained in how to help you process, how to help to get you in a healthier place. And while friends are certainly a tool that can get you there, sometimes our friends are struggling with the same things and it ends up being the blind leading the blind. So you really need both if you are in that dire situation, and I want to encourage you to do that. That's all I want to say. I would ask that you continue to, to pray, to think good thoughts, whatever you do for her family. As they process this just unthinkable loss. I wasn't sure what to do with this episode at first because I actually recorded it before learning about what happened to Toast. And now looking back on it, this is actually an episode where I went into some of the things I've been struggling with as far as Hearthstone, outside of that. And of course, in the context now, it seems like petty squabbling. Compared to the sanctity and gift of life. The neat thing is you'll actually hear me talk in the episode about that, not having known what was going to happen. But I think that in the context now, it serves as a good reminder that any struggle, any frustration that you're dealing with, it's inconsequential compared to the value of your life. And so we'll go ahead and air this episode as normal. And seriously, I love you guys. I'm so thankful for you. If you ever need somebody to talk to listen to, reach out. I'd be happy to be there for you, to help you get help, whatever you need. And the response from the community has been overwhelming towards Toast and towards the love and the hope we all need to have. Let's continue to do that. Here at the Happy Hearthstone, I hope you guys know I'm not just about putting a smile on your face and being naively positive about everything. What I am about is chasing the good, about the truth that there is always hope, and that even when we don't believe that there's hope, it's still there, and that we need each other to get there. So I'd like to dedicate the theme song for this episode to Toast. We'll keep it silent to give you a moment to process and reflect. And truly, let's be those who are continuing to carry the torch that Toast blazed so brightly to fight for justice in the esports scene, as well as equality and support for every single life that is involved. I love you guys and hope you enjoy the episode. Thank you. Hello and welcome to episode 120 of The Happy Hearthstone, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I'm your host, Andrew Brown, and this week, once again, I'm here to hang out with just you. Just you and me hanging out in your car or on your workout routine, or maybe you're, you know, zipping the family here and there, chilling at home, playing some Hearthstone, whatever you might end up doing. I'm really thankful to be here with you today. We had a jam-packed month with our review episodes. We had a great guest before that pair, so we had 2 weeks here of solo cast just to kind of space things out and give our guests a chance to get ready. Really thrilled. Next week is going to be great. I'll tell you a little bit about that later, but for now, we got to get things moving, because I'll be honest with you, this episode is going to be a bit shorter probably than most. Not a ton has changed since last week as far as the meta is concerned. Things are still sifting. I'll talk more about my experience a bit. And we've got some stuff to talk about with the Monster Hunt. But honestly, this week, as we talk about why I'm happy today, this week has been pretty tough and honestly really, really busy. I'm gearing up to work at a conference over the next few days for my work, which is great. I always love being at those, but that means my whole schedule has to be worked around. So I had to find some time to record for you guys, and I'm happy to do that. But I'm a bit crunched, honestly, as it were, time-wise. But I had enough to put together a good show for you guys. I always think about, before I hit the record button, I want to make something that I would want to listen to. So I'm really thankful to be able to create something that I'm still proud of for you guys, and just want to give you a heads up that it may look a little different. So with this honestly being a tough week, in the Hearthstone realm, it was tough for me. In other areas of life, it was a tougher week. This is kind of the week where we need to remind ourselves just what it means to be human. That's kind of part of my journey, at least. Something I've been working on is like a daily morning ritual, and this is my third week, I believe, of doing it, and where I wake up way too early and just go through kind of some routines that really set up my day, allow me to spend some time intentionally doing things that give me life and help me to just be the man that I want to be today. And maybe we'll talk more about that some other time. I'm just 3 weeks in. I don't want to talk too much about it, but one of the parts of it is thankfulness and really thinking through what do I have to be thankful for today? Because the truth is that if you've got air in your lungs, there is one thing that you can be thankful for. And I know we got listeners. We have people in our community who, you know, can struggle with either clinical depression or just depression, you know, waves and stuff like that. I know I certainly have had my fair share of that throughout my life. And those are really the times that it's hard to even look at the fact that you got air in your lungs as something that you can be thankful for. I want to speak to those of you who may be in that place today, that, and just remind you, your life matters, okay? You may feel like right now there's not much right now to be happy about, but I promise you things will get better if you seek out the right help. If you put yourself in community, you very rarely can get through something like that alone. I might go so far as to say it's impossible. But truly, like, you're a part of a great community, even just by listening to this podcast. And I hope you'll continue to engage with members in our Google Plus community on Twitter and, really build that out. The truth is that I really am thankful sincerely for the gift of life today. It's weird to think that, I get to be on this rock just floating through the cosmos, and I guess it's kind of like me at this point to get a bit big picture, but really this has been a week that even when certain things aren't going my way or I might be frustrated by one thing or another, that at the end of the day when I put my head on my pillow or when I wake up in the morning, I can really be thankful for, okay, I have a chance to make an influence today. I have a chance to be able to be somebody that matters in this world. I have a chance to really care about other people. And I have a chance to, you know, make an impact, even if it's on just one person throughout my day or in the digital sphere. You know, either way, That really, really is a gift. And so I'm thankful for that. I certainly am thankful for my family. We actually got an annual zoo membership to the local zoo as a Christmas gift. And we went for the first time on Sunday. So my girl is almost 2 years old, which is crazy. And so this is the first time she's been to the zoo. And that was just, I mean, she just lit up. She was so excited about giraffes and elephant. And she was talking about it all day. Even this morning when I woke her up, she just... Animals? It's, you know, I don't post much about my family because I think if I showed you guys my family too much, you wouldn't care about me anymore. You just want to see them. But they, you know, she and my wife are just so precious to me. And, you know, my wife especially, she sticks through with me through some tough circumstances and stuff. So I'm really, really thankful for them. I'm thankful that you're here listening. Seriously, I count it a privilege to be in your eardrums each week and to be able to create this content for you. So let's jump in and talk a bit about Hearthstone because there's a bit of news here. This is almost a week old, so you guys probably know this by now, but Blizzard did announce that the Shudderwalk and Life Drinker animations are going to be sped up, which is great. We kind of saw this coming. I don't know how much playtesting Blizzard did about this specific thing because I feel like they would have caught this. I know they probably do extensive playtesting, but stuff can always get by. So the Shudderwalk animation speed is going to be sped up. It's also going to be limited to only 20 battle cries that it triggers. So probably still enough, I think, for the OTK. It's not, you know, that deck, though it was really frustrating the first few days of the meta, it really has leveled off and not many people are playing it now. It's got a very low win rate. So not the game breaker that some of us may have thought that it was at the initial outset, but it's great that they're making this quality of life change because it was bad enough to lose the deck. It was even more bad to have to wait through 10 minutes of animation to get there. So really thankful that they're making this change. It will be releasing in a patch at some point soon. So we don't have an official word yet on that, but it should be in the near future, next few weeks or so. And the bigger news, obviously, is that Monster Hunt is live, which is so exciting. This first play or single player content, that, you know, is very similar to Dungeon Run, but very fresh. I'm sure many of you guys have played this. So far, I jumped in as quickly as I could and tried things out. So when you log in, you get a quest that's if you beat 10 monsters with Tess Greymane, who is the Tinkerer? No, the Trapper, I think, is her title. Then you get a free Witchwood pack. And then once you're done with that quest, it gives you for the Cannoneer. Again, beat 10 monsters, get a pack. And then Houndmaster Shaw, and then Toki Time Tinkerer. So you kind of make your way through those. I would encourage you that if you haven't yet, to go ahead and just play through all of those, because once you have that in your quest log, it will take up an entire slot. So those of you who are daily grinders and getting all your quests out of the way, probably not an issue for you. But if you're free to play, if you play every now and then, this is probably one you want to sit down and make some time for. That's worth it because your quest log is only going to be able to fill up to that maximum of 3, and this is one of those. So definitely in your best interest. And come on, it's free Witchwood packs. So I don't know about you, but I'm dying for another one right about now. I've got to be close to a legendary. I don't know when that's going to come. So I have had, honestly, a lot of fun with this mode. It is very refreshing from the Dungeon Run. I feel like this is more fair. A lot of people have been getting through all 4 pretty quickly, so it seems a bit on the easier side, but my experience is that it's not necessarily easy. I have not gotten through, I was not unable to get through each one on the first try. I was able to get through the Trapper and the Cannoneer on the second try each. Houndmaster Shaw and Toki are giving me a bit of trouble. Toki is basically a deck full of random, and her hero power allows you to re-roll for a turn, essentially, replay it. You only get it that one time, and it's free, but it's something. And so that really is kind of like the Tavern Brawls, where you get a deck full of randoms, where it's like, okay, you kind of can craft a strategy, certainly more than just a random deck, throughout getting the treasures and adding cards to your deck and stuff like that. But so many of her cards are very random based that it's hard to nail down exactly how to get things through. I was unable to get to her final boss yet. I still got to put some time. Honestly, it was Houndmaster Shaw that gave me even more of a headache because I got to the final boss. I think it was Lord Godfrey, or was it Glinda? No, it was Glinda Crowshaw. I can't remember her last name, but that was absolutely infuriating. I probably should have looked up what her hero power was, but I lost so hard and so fast to her. So I've got to go back and go through that whole thing. But it was nice to at least feel like, okay, it's fresh with the new hero power. Each of these heroes blend together two classes. So Tess blends together Rogue and Hunter, I think it was. And so it's fun to kind of see those blends and pairing together cards you normally wouldn't see in play. Obviously, the treasures are really exciting. I've got to give a shout out to my homeboy Bandage. I think that's what it was called. It was like a 2-mana restore health to all your minions and they can attack again. That is a fantastic treasure. So I don't know that it's necessarily game breaking or going to win you everything. But if you can establish a board and then you basically get to do double the damage that you typically would, that's really, really powerful. So I was a big fan of that pretty quickly. Overall, I'm having a lot of fun with it. I'd love to hear what your favorite experience was. So if you can shout that out on Google Plus or tweet at me at Andrea's Living and let me know which of the characters truly has been your favorite so far. I would love to hear that. I might post even a poll. Who knows? I might go totally crazy like that. I hope you guys are having a great time with Monster Hunt. It really has been fun so far for me. And then for the news, I wanted to start integrating my UHL matches because I don't know about you guys, but I am loving the United Hearthstone League this season. There are so many competitors. It's really tough to keep up with them. And I do want to give a shout out to the podcast that the UHL started called UHL Rundown. It is really great. I listened to it this week with Nick and Nefarious. They're fantastic, and they have a guest on from the competitors. And it's been really good. They talk in depth about each match and kind of their match of the week, what they expect from this next week and stuff like that. So really a great time on that. I'll be sure to put the link to that in the show notes. My match this past week was against Red Knight, fantastic member of our community. I was really looking forward to it because Red Knight's a great player and a good friend. I wish that I had put up more of a match for him. If you want to go check out the VOD for that, you can go to twitch.tv/UnitedHearthstoneLeague. And if you click on videos at the top, you can kind of scroll down and find Andrew's Living versus Red Knight. I brought my Odd Rogue, Odd Hunter, and a Control Paladin that was a lot of fun. Like, the deck is tons of fun, but unfortunately, I didn't get to show it off, like, at all. I was up against Red Knight's Elemental Shaman and Odd Rogue and even Paladin. And he just smoked me, to be completely frank with you. The very first match, it was my Odd Rogue versus his Elemental Shaman. That was probably the closest out of the three matches. He had his hexes, which did fantastic work against my biggest threats. I did not have a one drop minion, which was a thing that happened multiple times for me in this match. So I wasn't able to establish really early, but I got a good board. And then with his hexes and stuff, he was just able to take over me. Second match, my Odd Hunter against his Odd Rogue. I didn't have a one drop and I just kept drawing stuff that did not help me. So I would love to see what you think if you watch, if there was a mistake I made, but I couldn't do anything at all. And then that last one was his Even Paladin against my Control Paladin. I brought the Control Paladin more as a fun, ridiculous deck. And obviously Even Paladin is one of the strongest decks in the game right now. So that was his game as well. So great job to him and congrats. I know that he is really rearing up for the playoffs and wanting to make that. So it was a great match and hopefully I can have some better matching up this next week. I'll be facing Jordan Lingo, who is a host of The Daring Reporter, was on the show not too long ago and is a patron. So Jordan has kind of been my apprentice, I've played it up as, and I have been his master. And Jordan, I just got to tell you, man, I'm prepping these decks hard for you. Because if you have not seen what Jordan has come up with so far this month or this season in the UHL, It's literally bananas. So you need to go and find any videos of him on that Twitch channel because seriously, his matches have been, my mind has been blown from some of the decks that he's built. So I knew I needed to fight fire with fire. And so, Jordan, I got some really special decks this week for you. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So be sure to follow me, twitter.com/AndrewIsLiving, so that you can know when we're going to match up. It'll be a lot of fun. I want to do a very fast sponsor break for Humble Bundle. I'm really picky about who I kind of promote on this show. Obviously, our Patreon is huge because it's just you guys creating here something really special. And I know for some of you, it may not make sense to give on a donation basis, but maybe you do have some money that you purchase games with. This is a great opportunity because you get a ton of really high quality stuff at a price that you get to name. And then you get to choose what portion goes to the Happy Hearthstone, what portion goes to the game developers or to Humble Bundle. So it's really, it's as donation based, I guess, as legitimate video game purchasing can be. And right now they've got a great deal. If you've got a PlayStation, they've got a bundle with Capcom and Sega games. So Dead Rising 2, Alien Isolation, Dust Force, Crazy Taxi, Sonic Generations. And some of these are for the PlayStation Vita, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3. There's just a ton of stuff on here. So, and that's, again, it's name your price. They've got different tiers where you get certain stuff, but you get to pay for whatever you think it's worth. They've also got some really cool bundles like learning how to play music. So it's 19 ebooks for different things like how to use Logic Pro or teach yourself guitar. What else is on here? Piano, bass guitar, home recording, violin, music business. Like there's so much stuff on here. And as a musician, I'm always thankful when you can get some good resources at a decent price. So if you would like to support the show and any of these purchases sound interesting to you, go to thehappyhearthstone.com and you can click on the link in the show notes to directly support the show with any purchases you make there. So they've got those bundles going on right now. They have a monthly deal, which is by far the best. It's $12 and you get a ton of really high quality crafted games. You kind of take a risk because you don't know what all of the games are, but they always give you like a preview of like one of them. And you can go on there, look at what the past has been. There's just some really high quality stuff. And they also have a Humble store where you can purchase very similar to kind of the Steam store and get anything that you're looking for. Usually there's a decent price on there. They run some sales as well. You just have to go check it all out. Thehappyhearthstone.com. You can click on the link in the show notes and directly support the show that way. And so for the main topic today, let's talk about my experience in Hearthstone. Oh boy, my experience in Hearthstone. This has been a month, let me tell you. So maybe you're newer to the show, haven't heard too much. My journey as a Hearthstone player started out as everyone does, you know, just kind of very slowly making my way up the ranks, you know, getting to rank 15, rank 10. Man, I got rank 5 and felt so good because I could finally say, man, I'm a rank 5 player. I got this far. And, you know, I've been able to get to Legend now for 4 different times. So it's not a given that I'm going to get to Legend. I've done it several times, but there are many more times that I have not. So I certainly don't count that as something that's just going to happen every month. And this month is one where it absolutely did not happen. And I attribute that to a few different things. One is obviously the erraticity of the meta and of what people are playing, which is exciting and fun and really good, honestly. I hope that you guys have enjoyed just having a ton of different stuff on the ladder. It's tough because you really don't know from soup to nuts what you're going to come up against. There's so many different things right now that are viable. Obviously, Paladin is very strong. You got Q-Block, you got Spiteful Druid. A lot of people are having a lot of success with Tempo Mage or Aggro Mage. There's a ton of stuff that's either on or off meta that can do extremely well for you. And if you don't know about that, you should listen to the last episode that I made because I talked about that a lot there. And to save you from that, I also haven't had as much time in the month to play, which is not necessarily a bad thing. life happens, especially for a guy like me who's got a family. I'm sure I know lots of listeners have that, as well as your situation. There are just seasons where your family needs you more, or you're going on vacation, which is a great thing, or your company needs you more. And this is one where my work and my family have really had a lot going on. So there's been a need for me to just give myself there and to kind of take a break as much to Hearthstone. So that's okay. That's just a part of life. And that means that I wasn't able to grind quite as many games as I typically do. I still, looking back at my stats over the past month, have played a significant amount of games still. So 97 wins and 107 losses is where I'm at right now since Witchwood hit. And that is a 47% win rate, which will not get you to Legend, guaranteed. Kind of the thing is that if you can get above a 50% win rate, then you're fine. And looking back on this month, it's really interesting to see what worked for me and what didn't work. One of the biggest struggles I had this month was to figure out Even Paladin. And I'll be honest, I'm still at a place where I just don't get it. It is, you know, by far the winningest deck as far as statistics are concerned, especially on HS Replay. They've been touting that for a long time. And I was just never able to really make it work. I put in about 20 games or so with it and had a less than 50% win rate. So I know a lot of people hit Legend this month with that deck, but for some reason it just was not working for me. So I'm honestly considering getting, I've still got some of my coaching to use on Gamer Sensei with Phenom, and I think I might get some coaching around it, because I don't know if I'm just missing something that's like in plain view or what, but that just wasn't able to work for me well. The two decks that I was actually able to have an above 50% win rate with were Spiteful Druid, which I talked about plenty last week, and Even Shaman, which is definitely more of an off-meta pick. This isn't the Even Shaman I've seen taking over Wild, which is really cool. I need to play that. But an Even Shaman that I've been playing on the standard ladder. So I played a list, I can't remember who it was from, in my first UHL match, and that one I had gotten some time with on the ladder as well. And I think just because it's off meta, it's pretty aggressive, because you just flood the board and take advantage of that very quickly, that if your opponent can't keep up with you, if you're playing around the Defiles and the Hellfires that are very tricky and sometimes very lethal from your cubing opponents, then you could be set up to lose. But I was able to get around that just plenty fine. And in fact, in the past few days, I decided to step away from the standard Even Shaman list that I had been playing and instead play a Murloc Even Shaman. Again, I'm sorry, I'm just not, I don't remember anybody. This was a bit off the cuff coming in and recording, so I apologize for that. But I've been playing this Murloc Shaman list that's also an Even Shaman list, and actually was fairly successful with it. Looking at my past 3 days, no, I've got to go back a bit further than that, because that's one win and one loss, which I know I've played more than that. Apparently I haven't. Maybe it was on my phone that I played a few more games, but it certainly wasn't enough to like be able to hang my hat on it or anything. But it looks like those were the two lists. And actually, as I think about this more, what's lumped in with my Spiteful Druid is also the Taunt Druid, which is the Hadronox Druid list that have been going around. I know my good buddy Wicked Good was able to hit Legend with that list. And even Mike Lowe, another fellow competitor, has been saying that he's been really doing work with that lately on the ladder. For me, unfortunately, it was not that way. In the past 3 days, it looks like I went 3-7 with that list, which was not great. Because of how Tracobot tracks things, I can't see who my opponents were for those. But I know it was all over the place. So it really leads me to kind of what the past few days have been. So when I look at the last 3 days on my stats here, I've got a win rate of 25%. Bull. If you're not familiar, that's not encouraging, unfortunately. I went 7 wins and 21 losses, played Token Shaman, played the Taunt Druid, Q-Blocks, a little bit of Even Paladin, and then the Aggro Mage I saw some people were playing with. That one was the worst one for me. I had a 14% win rate with that one. So, and the highest win rate I had was exactly 50%. So this was a road, I think I peaked out at rank 3 and 3 stars. This was a road that was not great. because I really wanted to kind of stick to something that I preach all the time on the show, which is you have to put in reps with decks, right? You can't just lose one game and then say that deck just doesn't work for me. You know, you've got to put in at least 10 games to really know. And I was able to stick with that and do more than normal. You know, the Druid list that, or the Taunt Druid that I was hearing heralded so much, you know, went 3-7 with that. Q Block, I went 1-3. Even Paladin, 1-4. The Aggro Mage, 1-6. So it was like I could only punish myself so much. I didn't want to lose 10 games in a row with the same deck, you know. And so that sent me all the way back to rank 5 and 0 stars. And there's something that happens, I'm sure all of you have experienced this from time to time, when you just can't win a game to save your life, that that it's really easy to let your mindset determine what the future games are going to hold, right? So this is a concept called visualization, which is something that I've been trying to put into practice in my daily habits also. And that's actually being able to see the future. And not like a fortune teller, but just visualize what you want out of it. And then as you visualize that, and you kind of claim it in a way, I don't want to be too mystic or something like that, because I don't believe that you can just speak the future into existence. But as you kind of see yourself achieving something that you want to achieve, then when you go back into reality, you have this more determined factor to kind of to make that happen. You know what I'm saying? So there's nothing cryptic about it or anything. It's just a matter of really setting your mind on positive, good desires, you know, and then doing the work to make that happen in the meantime. So the opposite thing that can happen when you're on this losing streak is that you start to visualize the loss. If you are a Hearthstone player, at some point you've lost many games in a row and you have told yourself, I just can't win. I'm not going to win. I'm just a bad player today. This deck is terrible. You know, and my opponents just draw everything that they need. Whatever the thing is that you tell yourself, when you tell yourself, you're actually visualizing something negative for yourself. And what was tough for me is when I was on this losing streak, when I was just losing a lot of games, I feel like I'm pretty good at not just checking out of the game, basically. So I kept hitting play because it was like, well, I, you know, in order to make myself go up, I need to play more games in order to get there. And what I learned now looking back on it is that even though I would argue that I wasn't tilting, I had been losing so much and so often that I wasn't thinking as critically as I typically do from turn to turn. And if you're not thinking critically in a game where 100% of it is decision-making, you're probably not going to do that well, right? So even if I wasn't just spewing expletives and, you know, just really down on myself or anything like that, I was still in a much more sneaky way kind of undercutting my ability to be at my best. And probably a better decision if I was really concerned about what my rank was, because I wasn't committed to making Legend. I didn't think it was really possible at that point because I didn't know how much I would have to play the game. That was probably like my last run. So I thought, let me just, you know, go all in. But being able to actually step away from it and say, you know, even though I don't feel tilted, I'm not getting the results I want, and that's, you know, not what I want for my life. So I'm going to stop playing it now. I'm going to do something else, and I'm going to come back to this game refresh at some point. One of the things I realized that I hadn't done as much, especially in the past week, is watch other people play the game. And I know I've talked about this a little bit, but I want to be sure to remind you guys, if you've forgotten like I did this past week, just how key that can be for you improving your gameplay. And, you know, it doesn't matter if your goal is to get up 5 ranks or just to have fun while you're playing. Watching other people play is always going to make you better and help you to achieve whatever your goals are, pretty much. So watching a fun streamer like maybe, you know, Disguised Toast is not a joke by any stretch because he does well in the game. But he tends to find fun decks and do ridiculous things on there. So maybe that's more your style, that you want to find that fun deck on there. Or you look at somebody who is a tested, like really good, high-ranked Legend player, I don't want to draw any lines in the sand, so I probably won't say names because I know people can be pretty pretty loyal to their peeps. But you know who those people are. If you need some suggestions, you can reach out to me. But just how critical that can be for you doing what you want to do in the game. Like, don't underestimate it. And especially if you're at a place where I was, where probably the best decision was to take a break from the game. A great way to take a break, but to still stay engaged mentally and to refresh yourself is to watch another streamer. You know, get engaged with their chat, talk to other people, try to ask the host why they're doing what they're doing, or, you know, what's working well for them. And analyze each play. Think about how they're thinking, because if you let their thinking influence your thinking, you'll start to get the results that they're getting. Obviously, you want to make sure that they're winning, you know, in order to get there. But even the best players, if they're on a losing streak, will be able to keep their mindset good and stable and be able to breathe deeply. Remember, it's just a game, and to be able to approach the next game as intellectually in line as you would typically, even if you weren't losing. So I wanted to share that with you guys just kind of as a story and my big learning point. You know, that five to legend grind is so difficult. I know many of you were in that same spot. Maybe I had a similar experience to me where you just, you know, you couldn't figure out what could work or how to get somewhere. It's okay. Everything I said in the last episode is still true. And you are not a player that are, you know, you can't let your rank determine who you are as a Hearthstone player. Let it inform how you can get better. Let the data kind of help determine some of your decisions and stuff like that. But don't think poorly of yourself because of that. I know I had to work through that because obviously, you know, seeing the little you can't lose stars at this rank is just a gut punch, right? But at the end of the day, it's okay. And next month will be next month. So because I hit rank 3, I'll start at rank 8. And I'll be able to hit it more refreshed than typically. I always look at the first few days of the month as the perfect time to really hone in well on what the best players in the game are doing, because they're all climbing through those exact same ranks. So you can tell a lot and let that inform your decisions on which decks you're going to try out and how you're going to be able to do that. So definitely optimistic for next month, but man, it was a rough one for me. We also had the first Vicious Syndicate report published, the official one. Last time we had like the early report, I think is what it was called. But they've come out with their first full report. So things are still unsettled as far as like, you know, there are always a lot in each class that are broken down into a lot of different archetypes. So there are many more decks than there typically are later on. But obviously, we've got all the heavy hitters. We've got Odd and Even Paladin, Cube Warlock. We've got Odd Rogue, Spiteful Druid, Spiteful Priest, Tempo Mage, Face Hunter. Tons of stuff here. Cube Warlock was the most popular deck by far, but Paladin was the most popular class by a little bit. They just eked out Warlock by 0.2%. So really interesting to see that. As far as the win percentages and stuff, at all ranks, Spiteful Druid was number one, just barely beating out Murloc Paladin, and then behind that, Even Paladin, Cube Warlock, and Quest Rogue filling out the tier one list, which is all decks that had 52% win rate or higher. Quest Rogue has been formidable, that's for sure. It is a force to be reckoned with. It punishes control decks hard because it can just spin out of control so quickly. So things like, you know, Spiteful Druid may not be considered a control list, but I think Quest Rogue has a better win rate against that. I'll double check that real quick, but I'm pretty sure that's accurate. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's got a high win rate against that. And even more against Haunt Druid, which is probably more of a control list. But Cube Blocks, stuff like that. So it's a really good counter against that. But then you've got the Even Paladin and the Murloc Paladin that are very aggressive and quick to get out the door. So those can beat the Quest Rogue. You've just got to be ultra aggro in order to beat it. But then again, those control lists kind of fill out the circle of Hearthstone life, as it were. So Spiteful Druid and Cube Warlock can beat out the Murloc Paladins and Even Paladins. I think what's tough is Even Paladin being able to just spew out things every single turn, having Call to Arms in there and Sunkeeper Tareem. You've got so many really heavy hitting cards that it's hard to even justify clearing the board because every time I know it's just going to be cleared again. So their meta breaker really was just highlighting kind of that circle that you've got even in Murloc Paladin in the aggro seat, Cube Warlock in the control seat, and Quest Rogue in the combo mid-range seat. And Cube Warlock has combo stuff going on too, so I don't want to paint it too broadly. But that's sort of the circle of life. I've said that several times. So, as far as a meta breaker and a have a happy time of the week, I have to take a step back and tell you guys again that this was a rough one for me. And so I'm certainly not qualified as far as like what I saw really breaking through. You know, my statistics said that Druid and even Shaman did a number. I will tell you that if you want to have fun and you want to do well, that even Shaman list is a lot of fun, especially the Murloc one. I mean, it's crazy. It's a good time. So if you're interested in those things, I'll put those lists in the show notes. But as far as how to have a happy time on the ladder, really take control of your mindset. You can decide how you think about this game. You can catch yourself if you're flying off the handle and stop playing. That is a choice you can make. You can breathe. You can play a different game. You can go work out. There are lots of things that you can do to help yourself get in a winning mindset. And I do want to congratulate you. I know it's kind of a, I don't know if downer is the right word because I'm trying to be positive. Because the truth is that you have to learn from this kind of stuff and move forward. But I know that there are plenty of you guys who actually did fantastic this month. I saw a lot of people hitting legend, doing really well, saying things like Spiteful Druid. And I think Cube Warlock was another one I heard a lot. We're helping you get to legend and even Paladin, like I mentioned. So congrats to all of you who got that far. Lots of friends are even getting high finishes in legend, which is crazy and a lot to be proud of with that. So congrats to you guys. And that's kind of been my experience so far. No questions from the community or iTunes reviews. I want to remind you guys, as always, those iTunes reviews really, really matter. So thank you so much. If you have, like for some of you guys, you may have reviewed this show 2 years ago. It literally still matters today. That's why I wish I could do something every week to thank you guys. I'll have to work in something to at least thank you once, you know. But that's why we read them out every week. It's not to, you know, brag on our high horse, but really just to make time to remind you just how big of an impact it can make for people finding the show. And so want to encourage you guys, go to Apple Podcasts and review the show. It takes a few minutes, and it's a great way to support the show at absolutely no cost to you. All right, guys, card of the week. Even if I'm limited in time, even if I've got to kind of, you know, scrounge together something, I'm not going to skimp on this. So I've got a special one for you guys. Here we go. Here's a story of a gnome's contraption that was supposed to give some info to the crew. If there were intruders coming to their cavern, it'd make sounds just spew. But these mechies got a little nutty and were quite the challenge to just stick around. 'Cause the warning, intruder alert, got too annoying. That's why we broke all the alarmobots. Alarmobots. The card of the week's alarmobot. That's what I got for you. Alarmobot. That's a weird card of the week, Andrew. In fact, I think it's been card of the week before. I know, but these classic cards have to come back every now and then, and boy, do I have a good reason to bring up Alarmobot. If you can't remember, Alarmobot is part of the classic set. It is a 3-mana, 0-attack, 3-health mech, and it reads, at the start of your turn, swap this minion with a random one in your hand. So Alarmobot has never really seen the light of day, because Alarmobot hasn't had a way to be taken advantage of. Playing a 0-3 minion on turn 3 is not a great idea. Most of the time, your opponent is going to have a minion on the board to take advantage of things. And even if they don't have a minion on board, they probably have a spell or something that they can use to throw it out there. Well, enter into our meta today, where those things are still true, but there are times when Alarmobot can live, especially when you throw it out when you shouldn't. So, or when you shouldn't be able to, I guess. Because the effect is very powerful. Being able to swap it with any minion in your hand, if you've got a heavy hitter like, oh, I don't know, the Lich King or Deathwing or Malagos, that's a really big deal because that means on turn four when you start, you've got an effect on the board. You won't be able to attack with it because it's still got to have a turn to kind of go through. But that's not, it's just a really powerful effect. So that's why the minion is so weak, because if you kill it, like in the World of Warcraft world, there's a lot of these to kill. I think I remember them. They were really annoying. That's what I remember of them. Then you're able to just circumvent that really powerful effect. Well, Abar is a Hearthstone player who is he works on, I think, the HCT team. He comes out with these weird and wacky decks. And he realized that Alarmobot is actually a great way to take advantage of Duskfallen Aviana, new card from the Witchwood that allows your first card on your turn to cost zero. Which, when we reviewed this card, Steve and I rightfully said it's not good because your opponent actually gets to use the effect before you. Well, with Alarmobot, if you're able to pull out the Duskfallen Aviana, that means that you get the initiative and your first card that turn is actually going to cost zero. So you get to lead out with it, and there are actually some really sneaky things that you can do in order to push things in your favor. Like, I don't know, I mentioned this big dragon Deathlord called Deathwing. Not Deathwing Dragonlord, that's confusing, but actually Deathwing. If you're able to play an Alarmobot, get out Duskfallen Aviana, and then your first card costs zero, you play Deathwing. Okay, you do have to discard your hand. But you destroy the Duskfallen Aviana and your opponent doesn't get that effect. So you were just able to take advantage of the effect and now you've got a 12-12 on board. And if they had any minions, they're gone. And this is turn four that this all happened. Polymorph or Hex will deal with that. And that's it, I think. If you can think of anything else, let me know. But it's really a potential for you to take advantage of things in an insane way. Now, Andrew, the problem, you said, was Alarmobot on three isn't good. Well, if you play this in a Druid deck, you can get two Innervates in your hand and play the Alarmobot on turn one, Duskfallen Aviana on turn two, and Deathwing or Malagos or Alexstrasza or Lich King on turn two. And then turn three, you get to attack. And there's nothing that can beat that. So let me finally say the footnote that this is a weird, wacky deck, okay? This is not broken, and there are plenty of games that you're going to play with this, if you're interested, that are not going to work in your favor. But if you do play this and it works, it's going to be a lot of fun. And this is probably the craziest combo that I have seen so far in the Witchwood. So I will link to this deck so that you guys can try it out. It is crazy. And I hope that you'll try it out and have some fun. I'm looking forward to putting in some games with this. And thank you, Wicked Good, for sharing this with me. He put it on my radar, and it just looks like way too much fun to not talk about and to give little Alarmobot a little love, because he's got that powerful effect, you know? And sometimes, if it works, it's going to be a crazy game. So have fun with your Alarmobot and your Duskfallen Aviana. Do not craft it. Don't craft it. But if you got it like me in a pack, here's a reason to play it. Okay, guys, I'm going to close out the show now and just remind you guys, as always, you are the happy Hearthstone. Sincerely, I know there was a lot that happened in my week in my life. And something that I've thought about often is just how privileged and honored I am to have a spot in your podcast rotation, or I don't know, maybe to be the Hearthstone podcast that you choose to listen to every week. It really is an honor. And I'm so thankful for each and every one of you. If you haven't reached out to connect with me, I would really love to do that. I hope I never come off as like unapproachable or anything like that. If there's any way that I can help or be of service to you in your Hearthstone gameplay, I want to be, because that's what this community is all about. We're all about helping each other, being connected, and knowing that we're better together. The truth is that this podcast would not exist without you listening, supporting the show on Patreon or through one of our sponsors like Humble Bundle or Gamer Sensei. And I want to give a huge shout out to our awesome producers of the Happy Hearthstone, Jordan Lingo, who I'm facing off against this week, Red Knight, who is going to be on the show next week. Really excited to have him here. We've got a great topic that we're going to be talking about. And Risen, who I got to do my first coaching session with. We had a great time. Literally, I can't make this up. We beat the rank 3 legend at the time. So I feel pretty good about that. Even if I had a terrible win rate and stuff, the fact that we won that game had me feeling pretty good. We did some Spiteful Druid, and that was a lot of fun. So thank you three so much for making this show happen. Seriously, I feel your love every week, and this show would not be the same without you. So thanks for being all in. If you would like to join them and join the team that's supporting this show, we've got levels set up at just $1 a month. You can be a part of things, get some shout outs on the show, which are always fun to do. And at $5 a month, you can get exclusive content I'm coming out with this week. In fact, I need to put up a poll for you guys and see what you want to hear, because we've been talking about what's changed about some archetypes that were around last expansion, but how have they changed since Witchwood is hit. So I love creating those for you guys and hope you are enjoying them. If you want to get instant access to those things, you just need to go to patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone and join in there. And as always, you can also leave a review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. Man, I got to change that in my show notes and just in my routine. So go do that. That's totally free. Got a lot of stuff you can join us in. Our Google Plus community is happening as always. If you haven't followed me on Twitch, I would really appreciate that. Twitch.tv/AndrewIsLiving. I'm not on there a ton, but again, it's another free way. If you have Amazon Prime, you can subscribe. And it's basically like a little tip that you can throw in to help the show keep going and to show your support. And you'll get the Andrew Champ emote, which is fun to throw around in channels from time to time. So you can go do that. Also, you can email the show at thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com. If you're interested in coming and being on the show, I hope you'll go ahead and send me an email. We have had a lot of people come in to support the show through being on it, which is also no insignificant thing because it takes some time. It's also a lot of fun. Before I was actually the host of this show, when Josh had founded the show and created it, I reached out to him, and that was my very first time podcasting, was being a guest on the show. So it really means a lot to me to keep that going, because it was so special to me then, and it's still special to me now to be able to just have so many different influencers and voices and be able to introduce great people. If you've never been on a podcast before, it's fun to come on. So definitely reach out to me and I'll schedule you out. We'll talk about how to have a great show together. And I mean, that's just what this show is. So also want to give a quick shout out. Well, I guess that it's not a shout out if you're promoting yourself, is it? I just want to remind you guys, if you're interested, I blog about my faith journey and stuff that's going on in my life over at scaryfaith.com. I've been working really intentionally on that as part of my morning routines, because it's something that I want to build out and just share more about what I'm processing, what I'm learning, how I'm growing and pushing myself. So if you're interested in that, go to scaryfaith.com and you can check it out. If not, no worries. All my Hearthstone stuff is always going to be right here. If you are interested in that, be sure to go to thehappyhearthstone.com and see all the latest stuff. I've actually got an article that I've written that I need to upload and get on there very soon. So you can be on the lookout for that. But you can search all around and find a lot of great stuff on there. So thehappyhearthstone.com, check it out. Hey, thank you guys so much for sticking in here with me. I hope you got encouraged. I hope you learned a little bit, whether it was empathy that you needed and not having the best month on the ladder, or maybe you just needed a quick reminder like, yeah, there are bigger things going on even in this game or beyond that. I'm always here for you, and I think I'll always be here trying to help point you in the right direction as far as that's concerned. We all have a great time and a lot of fun with this game, but it can really, because it's all mental, it can push our limits in some severe ways. So I'm thankful for each and every one of you, how you support me, how I'm able to be there for you. It is a symbiotic relationship, if I remember biology correctly. There's a lot I've forgotten since high school, but sincerely, this show couldn't exist without you guys. So thank you so much for being a part of it. And thanks for visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. I'll see you guys again next time.